Hey everybody, welcome back to Lessons Learned, the podcast where we aim to turn our experiences into your wisdom. I'm Randy, here today with Chris, Jared, not Joe, Talon, and we have a special guest today. But before we get started, I would like to offer my condolences to our friend Jared, as his car did not start this morning, and I would like to ask you all for a moment of silence, please.
Rip the car.
Hey, well, that was supposed to be a moment of silence for you.
Yeah. All right, Chris.
Hey, thanks a lot, Cindy Lou Who. Yeah. So Joe's not on the episode today, so that's addition by subtraction, and we got our friend Sam. So that's addition by addition. So it's gonna be a great episode for you guys today.
Addition by addition.
So yeah, we're gonna be talking about
math is hard
ways to decompress. So you know, you spend all the holidays with your family, hopefully, maybe COVID Christmas, who knows. And you might be a little stressed. You might not have gone home. So maybe you're just feeling a little stressed from that. How do you decompress? How do you, you know, it's after the holidays. How do you just sit back and relax and enjoy life? So we're going to be talking about that today. So Jared, why don't you go ahead and take us off?
Ways to decompress, especially around the holidays. So I usually have a routine whenever I go home. Sadly, I don't think I'm going home this year, but I will, if it's like Thanksgiving or Christmas or something, I'll wake up like really early and I'll go to the gym and get a nice workout in and have a lot of energy for opening presents or for cooking for Thanksgiving. And yeah, I feel like that helps me a lot. It helps me kind of get by myself because I'm an introvert and being around people is very taxing on me. So having that alone time, or maybe I'll go with my brother. That's what I did last year. And it was fun. And it kind of sets me up for the whole day to be around family and stuff. That little bit of alone time.
I like that. I wouldn't have even thought
Hell yeah,
about
brother.
That. Yeah, giving yourself some alone time before having to spend a lot of time around people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. By the way, I'm sorry. We have a guest. I should have sent it to you first. What's up, Sam?
What's up, Chris?
How's it going? I'm an idiot.
No, it's good. It's good.
Yeah. How's your day?
Oh, you know, pretty good. Except, you know, it's snowing outside and I hate this.
Did your car start?
Yeah. Well, actually, I don't know. I didn't start my car this morning. So.
Yeah, I was Uber. I played Uber and tow truck driver today.
Yeah. Three stars. Yeah. 3 out of 5.
You picked up Sam and me.
So, all right. So maybe snow's got you down a little bit. What's a good way to decompress for you? Or like, how do you go through life decompressing, just, you know, getting back to normal?
Yeah. So I have a really big family who are all very opinionated and loud, and it's a lot. It can be a lot at times. And I think one of the biggest things for me is having that person who's like kind of my rock, you know, like someone, whether it's like I'm venting to my brother, you know, my boyfriend Dallas. But I think everybody has to have that person who's like their go-to, that they trust, that they know, like, if Uncle Joe is just bringing up politics again, you know, that you can call that person who is like, you know, your rock, and you can be like, vent to them. Because obviously you can't fix your family, quote, unquote. I mean, you love them and you're kind of stuck with them. And, you know, you don't want to hold it all inside and then blow up, cause some kind of, you know, family drama, when really it probably, you know, was just emotional at the time. And I think it's something that men would really
it's turning personal.
No, I'm serious. I think that as a society and as a culture, men don't really talk about their feelings and talk about what bothers them. And I think that we would realize as a society that we would all function a lot better if we let how we felt out instead of bottling it up inside. And you don't have to tell a bunch of people, but just having that one person, that go-to that you trust, I mean, I think that makes a huge difference.
That's a good point. To me, my rock is Jared Rumsey.
I was about to say my rock is you, because you picked me up. He picks me up when I'm down and my car's not starting.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. I've definitely learned to speak my feelings this year and express it. And
good.
I don't have that rock per se, but I have a bunch of good friends, you included, that like are there to listen. Like all of us on here are there to listen, so it's nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I think men generally don't do that.
No, and I think it's just kind of a, I don't want to say like a cliche, and obviously some men are good at it, but I think women are kind of known for being able to, you know, convey how they're feeling in a way that sometimes men don't want to. I think that's okay. I think that's just, you know, kind of the difference between men and women. But I think talking about things that are upsetting you is something that should be across all gender lines, you know?
So. Oh, yeah. For sure.
So it's still kind of a cultural divide, at least Definitely. Like here in the United States. I mean, I know even for myself growing up, like it was still a thing, like, oh, like my dad would teach me, it's like, guys don't cry, mm-hmm. especially like for certain things. It's like, and that follows Definitely. Through with anything else, not just crying, but like if you're upset or anything else. So
I cried last night watching a Hallmark movie.
Yeah,
I'm kidding. I didn't.
Oh yeah, they're not
talent. No
they're,
shame.
They're not that dramatic. They're
me and Tom were cuddling on the couch and we were both crying.
That's
okay.
It's beautiful.
That's
some way to decompress. Yeah.
It is.
No, but back to your topic a little bit. Like, on top of speaking, it's also important to listen. And I feel like mm-hmm. both men and women don't listen. And it's hard for that rock. Like they are your rock because they listen to you.
Right.
And like when you have someone that does that, it's really nice to have.
Well, and you know, there is studies, there's psychological benefits to being on both sides of the venting. There's, you know, benefits for being the listener and the venter, you know. And so I think it's just important to know that, you know, even if you are the person venting, to always know that you will be able to reverse that role as well and be a good listener too.
Yeah, that's a good point. So. And that's like, that's why it's good working out with Rumsey over here. I mean, not to ignite this bromance any more than it already is, but like going to the gym, man. Like that's what we do.
Just propose already.
Right?
We vent, you know, and like it's nice. Mm-hmm. We're lifting weights. We get our anger out together. Like I'm wrapping it back into your topic. It's like that is a good way to to decompress a little bit because you get stuff off your chest.
Right.
Hmm. And really quick about the masculinity issue that us men face. It's really like an old problem that we're taught from our fathers and Definitely. That they're taught from their grandfathers. So, I mean, if you're struggling with that, like if your dad was, you know, all about not showing your emotions and everything, and that's just what you grew up around, I would recommend a book, The Mask of Masculinity by Lewis Howes.
Oof, coming it's in clutch really with the book good. Reference.
And it talks about just that, you know? It talks about the different masks that us men are taught to wear, like, growing up. And okay. how, until you kind of get past that and take off your mask, you won't really fully open up in your relationships. And I thought that's something really cool that I could throw in there. It's a great book.
That's good. Yeah, I grew up with a brother, right? So it was me and my brother, and it was definitely something I noticed. I didn't notice till I was an adult, right? Mm-hmm. That when we were kids, you know, if I was upset about something, the way I was treated was differently than the way my brother was treated when he was upset about something.
Interesting.
I don't know that it was on purpose. I don't know that my parents were doing that intentionally.
It's almost just natural.
It's almost just like the society. It's like it's how they organic. Were raised. Yeah, it's like we're very organic. Very organic.
Chris got Sam to say it.
But yeah, Randy, you know, did. Like if I was upset, you know, it was like, you know, sit down, talk, you know, what's wrong, you know, how can I fix it? What can I do to make it better? And my brother, it was more of like,
get over it.
You know, yeah, it kind
push
of
it
was.
Down.
Yeah. It kind of was.
Push that shit know? Down.
Yeah. So. Interesting. That is. We could do a whole episode just on that alone. Like, yeah, there's
right?
a lot to talk
there
about.
There really
for that.
Is a lot there.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, look at that, a guest speaker, and that was a solid point. So thanks.
Yeah.
Talon, what do you do to decompress?
So for me to decompress, normally it would be to go travel. That's kind of not really worked that much this year. And because of that, honestly, like internally, I am constantly stressed out for like no good reason. Mm. It's just like I have
like anxiety.
Yeah, like anxiety, stress is just like it's increased being unable to travel because this is what I want to do. That's what I want to do with my life. So if I can't do stuff like that, then I don't know, like my whole life and my body's just kind of out of whack and everything. But I mean, day to day, I guess the only way to really decompress for me would be like I just chill out, play like video games, or honestly just watch YouTube videos. Nothing specific.
I was just gonna ask you that.
Yeah.
Smart.
About the video games. I was gonna say, going back to the video games episode that we did, would you consider that a way to decompress?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I have a bad day or something like that, I could just sit down and just play a video game, just forget about my troubles for a couple of hours and have to face reality afterwards. But
see,
yeah,
me, it's the opposite for me, because I suck at video games. So like when I die over and over, I just get more mad. Like
it stresses you out,
dude. I hate it.
Yeah,
I smashed my NHL game in half and threw in the garbage once.
Everybody's ways to decompress are going to be a little bit different.
Yeah,
you know, something that might be good for Talon might not be good for you, and vice versa.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's like, you're talking about competitive stuff. I would just like hang out. Like late last week, I was playing Final Fantasy 15. You don't know that game, but it's just, I mean, it's a single player game. It's just me, and I'm just sitting there just chilling out for a couple of hours going through a storyline. So
interesting.
You need to play some single player games, Chris. That's what
I don't like video games. Because you know what I'd rather do? Here's my way to decompress. I'm going to tie it into yours, Talon.
Oh, boy. Here we
yours
go.
Is traveling. I'm leaving for Colorado tomorrow morning. I'm going snowboarding. So my way to decompress is to just get out in nature. And just, you know, not all hippie, but like be one with nature. Like, I love it. The fresh air, the views, like everything about it is awesome. Here in Nebraska, that lacks. So I'm never really like content here, because like when we took that trip to Vermont, Jared, like you saw how happy I was. Like I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a different Chris. But yeah, so like I'm going snowboarding tomorrow. So this whole year, this week is going to be, minus that trip I did, and that was like 2 weeks off, so that was nice. But this week is going to be a nice reset for me. And it's like Christmas time, so I'm happy. I'm off work for like 3 weeks now, so like I'm in a good spot. I love it. So I'm going to be really happy meeting all my college buddies up out there. So it's going to be fun. And like, yeah, so there's something about it. Like if I'm stressed at work, right, at least back home, if I was stressed, I would just go for a hike. I'd hit up Randy when we were growing up and be like, hey, let's go for a hike, man. He'd always be down. And just,
hell yeah, brother.
The fresh air and the sun hitting you, even when it was snowing, we had like 3 feet of snow. My buddy Brandon came up one time and we hiked the Appalachian Trail in like 3 feet of snow. Like, there's something about it. Like, you don't see that. You would never know that experience unless you get out and do it and like experience that cold, experience that fresh air. And then like the view from the top of a mountain when there's like 3 feet of snow everywhere. To me, like, that's just, I'm just at bliss. Like, it's nice.
And you feel like you accomplished something too.
Yeah, exactly. Until I see a bear on a hike and then like I'm all stressed out again.
Then you never want to go on a
yeah,
hike
that,
again.
Yeah, that can be not fun. Or a mountain lion. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Oof.
I got chased by a pack of wolves once. I didn't get chased necessarily, but they were following me. It was I heard them. It was scary.
Was I with? I think I was with you for that.
No, I was with Evan Kovach, and he had his German Shepherd, and like she was like freaking out. So it was scary. But anyway, that's besides the point. Yeah. All right. So Randy, let's hear your topic.
Smoke weed every day.
Paradise. Oh,
no. But for real, no. I mean, I go to the gym all the time. That's a big one for me. But I wanted to use a hobby of mine.
And Let me guess.
Yeah. Shameless plug.
Baseball.
Oh, no. No, I was actually going to go. Okay. I mean, yes. Also, yes. But I was going to go into the wood shop.
Oh, yes. I am jealous of that.
That's, yeah, that's a big one for me, and especially in the beginning of all this COVID stuff. And then I was, you know, I wasn't off of work, but I was limited hours. I was only working like 20, 25 hours a week. I had so much extra time, and everything was like super stressful. And one of the best things I could do was like go out there. I could just turn everything off, turn the whole world off, and just, you know, spin out something on the lathe or put together a cabinet, or like I made a pretty sweet coffee table. I made a bunch of like little shot glasses and stuff.
Yeah, I remember that progress of that coffee table. That was awesome. I was jealous.
Yeah, it was cool. I know. I got to start doing the Instagram thing again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that was an awesome way for me to decompress, especially because like my other ways were gone. There was nothing else for me to do. Like I was pretty much off of work. The gyms were closed. My baseball season got postponed because of everything. So literally like all my ways to decompress got taken away from me. So I had no other way to do it.
Yeah, I feel like it's important. I mean, we're not just saying this to talk about our lives. We're saying this to help people. So it's important to understand what helps you decompress. And to once you realize like what it is that you enjoy and like it resets your mind, like recognize that and do it when you need to. Like, so for example, you're stressed out, you've seen family for like a few days, or like you weren't able to see family. Like, go do something that you enjoy again. Like, just relax and let it all be good.
I think you said something earlier that was interesting, Randy, is when you said that after Chris and you like went on a hike, like you felt accomplished, you know? And I think sometimes with decompressing, that feeling of accomplishment is also kind of part of that, you know, whether it's, you know, getting further in a video game, getting your workout in at the gym, you know, like doing something that maybe isn't productive as far as like work, is productive in a different way that leaves you feeling a different sense of accomplishment, can be really relaxing for a lot of people.
Yeah. More like a self.
Absolutely.
Selfishness.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Something for yourself. Yeah.
Putting yourself first. We talked about that at like really early on in this podcast.
Yeah. Look, it's all tying in. It's like we know what we're talking about or something.
Weird. I dig it.
Yeah, so it's almost like selfish, like you need to take care of yourself, like we were talking about in that one episode. But it's also important, like Sam said prior in the beginning of this episode, that, you know, you need someone to help be there for you sometimes. Like, say you need to get stuff off your chest. So, like, do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So I think something important about, like, getting things off your chest and venting is, you know, you're in an emotional state, right? You know, you're anxious, you're stressed. Because of people or things, you know, a situation that you feel like you don't really have much control over. And I think sometimes talking to someone who is removed, you know, from that emotional state, who can think in that clear state of mind and kind of give you some perspective about, not saying that what you're stressing over or anxious over isn't a big deal, but they can kind of bring you back, you know, to ground zero, like, in the bigger scheme of things, you know, kind of aspect, you know, is this worth getting worked up over? Is this worth the investment of your emotion, you know? Ooh. And
it could also, Sam.
No, go ahead, Randy.
I was going to say that could, it's also great because that could kind of maybe keep you from either doing or saying something potentially stupid.
Exactly.
That you don't mean.
Exactly.
Yeah, you've got plenty of experience doing stupid stuff. Maybe you should reach out a little
bit
more.
Yeah, I do a lot of stuff.
So. Maybe you should call Chris more.
Well, that's probably not the best idea.
Okay, yeah.
I say that's a terrible idea.
I'm usually that masculinity mask thing. I'm just like, dude, shut up.
Oh, no. No, and I think that's important too. I think it's important that when your friends do reach out, I mean, I know you were kidding, but that you really do listen. Even if you think it's petty or insignificant, you know, what's insignificant to you can be very significant to someone else. And I think making them feel heard is one of the most important things we can do as human beings, is making people feel heard, you know? So.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know it does help a lot. Like whenever you're going through stuff, just even just venting, like sending a long text or like calling somebody, FaceTiming, just having that person there to listen to you. They don't even have to say anything. Just like listen and just like, let me get it off my chest. It feels so much better.
Yeah. I mean, you're...
We do it in the group chat all the time.
Yeah, we do. And your mind isn't always your friend. And if you're just stuck in your own thoughts, like people in nature are... I mean, a lot of people are very self-conscious. And something that they think might be a really big deal, when you go and ask someone else, they can remind you. It's like, oh, no, like that... Like, who cares? Like Sam said, in the greater scheme of things, it's that one little thing that's stressing you out probably doesn't matter.
And she also mentioned a good point that I wanted to talk about. When she said you need someone who's like a different point of view, dude, you're always that for us, especially on the podcast. Like you're devil's advocate. Like it's nice. It's important to have that, because I can be like super pissed off or like have different ideas for episodes or different social media posts. And like we always in the chat, like I'll send one thing. Jared has an opinion. You have an opinion. You're usually like, well, I see both sides and here's the way I think we should go. And that's what we usually end up doing, because I'm on one extreme. Jared's usually on the other, and we're like, fuck, where do we go from here?
I'm on the more reasonable extreme.
That is true. I agree with Jared more often.
It takes you guys forever to do everything.
I think that's an important point, though. I think it's important to recognize those friends who are, like, the most reasonable, right? Because if you're in this emotionally, you know, heightened state, you definitely want to call the reasonable friend. You know, you don't want to call the friend who's going to like hype you up to do something that you will regret. So
do it. No balls.
Do it. Start a fight.
Don't call me.
In this scenario, we would call, you know, Jared, Talon. We wouldn't call Chris or Randy. You know, like.
Don't call me. I'll tell him to punch him in the face.
Yeah, we got a whole episode on punching.
I already said that in an episode.
Yeah, take a day off.
So yeah, I just think that's an important point too about venting, is vent to the right person.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely recognize that.
It's all about recognition, right? Like who your friends are. We did an episode on friends, and like who's, like you said, who's the devil's advocate, who's neutral, who's gonna help talk you down, tell you like, yeah, that was fucked up, or like, well, maybe it was on your part a little bit, you know? Like Talon's always that person. Mm-hmm. And that's nice. And like whenever I'm stressed, I do reach out to him. I mean, I reach out to the whole group, and we get a whole mix of emotions. But we usually come to one consensus after telling his input, obviously.
Yeah. And even if someone comes to you and you don't have good advice, people just want to be, they want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to be cared for. So even if you don't have a good answer, you can just kind of bring them down from that emotionally heightened state, as Sam said.
Right.
And kind of like just bring them back down to earth so they can think with a clear mind.
Yeah. Like you just want to, you know, getting back on topic a little bit is like, you just want to decompress. Like you want them to be able to say what they need to say and like, boom, life's good again.
Say
right?
what you need to okay. say.
Yeah. Thank God. I was thinking of the same thing.
You can put like a little insert to that song. There we go.
Yeah. And Chris, you kind of said it. I think sending a text message, putting your thoughts into words, I think can be a major thing, even more than just like speaking it. Sometimes when you see it on paper, you're like, oh, I'm dumb.
Sometimes you have to send it.
Yeah, just
dude. Yeah. Remember when I got back from my deployment and like I went through my breakup and everything? I mean, we had a recording that you guys will hear in the future. It got deleted. Sorry.
Sorry.
F's. But
you hate to see it.
I bought a journal and I started writing down my words, and I went back and read it, and I was like, dude, what the fuck? Like that was in my head. That's crazy.
Oh man,
it's true. It definitely gives you some like some real perspective when you see your thoughts written down or typed up. You're like, does this make sense that I'm feeling this way? Like,
right.
And not to invalidate your feelings, but just like, man, like clearly I was emotional at this time. Yeah. You know, like so. I think it's important sometimes to bring us back down. When we kind of see, you know, wow, like we were in that emotional state when we thought those things and we said those words, you know, so. Right.
So, Jared, I got a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
Say you're pissed off, right? You need to decompress. You're active.
Yeah.
Does your activity like increase? Like, do you just throw up like, I'm not going to say what I was thinking, but like, do you just get like this crazy strength out of nowhere? Like you throw up massive weight like you haven't before?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if you have like heightened stress at all and your hormones are going crazy, I'll put up some big weight.
Yeah, and then you usually get like a back injury and then be out for like a month.
I was just gonna say, and then you hurt yourself.
Yeah, I don't know, if anything I'm in more of like an alert, like heightened alert state. So
fall off your skateboard, twist your ankle.
Oh no.
I forgot about that. Yeah, we were so happy we went to the skate park and boom, twisted ankle.
Oh no,
man, I was ripping though. I was
Yeah, you were showing me up for sure.
Isn't that kind of just
ripped up your ankle?
Isn't that just a natural response though, when your body's experiencing stress, to kind of have like an extra shot of adrenaline essentially flowing through your body? And you said hormones are flowing a little bit, so
yeah, you know, a lot of people go for runs and stuff. I just lift weights.
You lift things up and put them down.
Pick things up and put them down.
Thank you. You got the reference.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and there's also times that like people, you know, are just super stressed out, and like Sam mentioned it. We took a little break there, but she was mentioning how people get so stressed out and like they feel like they can't do anything. So why don't you go ahead and repeat what you said before?
Yeah. So I was just talking about, you know, because this episode is about decompressing, and I just wanted to bring up, you know, some people, they kind of get so stressed out, so anxious, and then they kind of feel like they can't do anything. Like it's kind of this overwhelming sense of stress. And I was wondering just if any of y'all, you know, had some insight on ways to kind of get out of that rut, you know, whether in an introverted, extroverted way, just kind of get up and do something that makes you feel better, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I, when I'm dealing with a lot of stress and I'm put in that situation, I tend to be a hermit. You know, I kind of just close up. And I've been there before. Since then, I've realized how to deal with it, because it's not healthy at all. And one of the ways that I did that is I found something that I loved, something that I enjoyed doing and that made me feel good, which was going to the gym. I mean, obviously, I'm pretty sure everyone knows that answer at this point. So I would just hold on to that. I would cling on to that one thing, and that would give me a sense of accomplishment every day, and it would boost my mood, get the blood flowing, and it would just kind of like compound how I was feeling throughout the day and while I was in that rut. And then I would also read books, and I just like, that's my way of kind of seeking advice from other people, but also being alone and kind of in that like meditative state almost. Because yeah, I would still hang out with friends and stuff when I was dealing with all the things that I was dealing with, but hanging out with people for me can be draining, like mentally draining. So I had to get away, and the gym and books were how I did that.
You do that every day, so you must be stressed a lot.
I think that's a really good point, though, that about, you know, because you are introverted, about reading books is your way of getting advice from other people without being around people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's a lot of wisdom in that for people who are also introverts.
Yeah. And podcasts.
This is what I was talking about, dude. I'm the total opposite side of the spectrum on this one. Like, I need people. So, like, what if I'm super stressed, like I'm in a rut, I usually have good friends that realize that. And like, I might say like, dude, I'm over everything. And it takes that strong person to force me to do something. Like, I'm just home. I don't want to move. Like, I'm sleeping. Like, leave me alone. I'm over the world right now. Like, one of you will come over. Like, one of you would tell, like, let's go grab a beer. Like, let's go get a coffee. I know back home, Randy be like, let's go hike. Like, you're going. Like, there's no question.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes I need that. And so it's funny to see the two different perspectives of, like, you want to deal with things alone. I don't. But, like, I don't want to make the effort. You know, does that make sense? I need someone to push me.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And like, it's,
I think,
go ahead.
I'll say, I think sometimes too, and it's something that I've experienced before, is, and it's just because this is something that I personally do, is a lot of times I don't seek out the help from other people because I kind of feel like I don't want to make my problem your problem.
Yeah. And that could also tie back into Sam's like masculinity problem. Like, sometimes you just need to not be afraid, you know? And like, you might think that at the time, like, I've thought that too, but in reality, people are there to help you, you know? So you can't feel like you're burdening somebody by speaking your feelings and speaking why you're upset.
Yeah. And a lot of the times, the person who you go for counsel, like, they'll be happy. Like, they'll feel honored that you go to them for help and for guidance.
Bring Anna on your family.
I have a coworker who we kind of have that dynamic, which is nice, where like she can text me about stuff, I can text her about stuff, and like, you know, we'll go through our whole thing and then be like, hey, thanks for letting me vent. And both of us are like, you know, anytime. Like, we've both been on that side, and just kind of, this all kind of goes back to what Sam brought up in the beginning, and it is really great to have that.
Yeah. And I remember, like, I mentioned like you making me go hike and stuff, like, you know that I love nature. Like, I getting out there, I might not want to go. Like, I might be feeling tired or like just don't want to exercise at all. But getting out there in that hike, like, you know, you see animals, like, you see nature, like the fresh air you breathe. Like, it's, to me, that's the most incredible thing. Is like, I could just be sitting on my couch playing video games. Like, video games are not for me. Like, I'm looking at a computer screen and my eyes are starting to hurt. Instead, I'm out in nature. Like, I'm seeing living things moving around me. Like, I see like running water,
might chipmunk, even see Sasquatch. Squirrel,
like,
might
even... like, I don't know, like stuff like that just makes me feel so much better.
Yeah. But you need that. I mean, you kind of said you kind of need that extrinsic like motivation from someone else.
Yeah.
And I'm personally kind of more on the same fence as Jared. And when I'm like, when I'm in a rut, I don't really want to deal with people. And the way that I kind of deal with it is I need to accomplish something. You kind of talked about that before, but I need to accomplish something for myself that way, because most of the times when you're stressed out or when you're feeling anxious, it's because something in life, an external factor, something happened to you. So when I'm in a rut, I need to believe that my life is in my own hands. So that's why I need to accomplish something on my own, whether it be, I mean, it could be me completing a class, could be me finishing like some home improvement project or something like that. But it's because something like that, I can do it myself. And I know that my own life is in my own hands at that point. And then I can remind myself that every single day. It's like when, like at the end of the day, it's like, this is my life. I have the control over this.
Mm. I'm definitely with Talon on that. You know, when I'm really stressed and I'm feeling very overwhelmed, I need space and I need to accomplish something by myself. And it can literally be as simple as doing the dishes or maybe something as big as like, you know, I'm cleaning out my closet, but I'm just doing something that's making me and giving me a sense of accomplishment, because then that's just one less thing on the list of things that I feel overwhelmed by, you know?
Interesting. So
that helps me a lot.
And to kind of go back to what Jared was saying, like sometimes it's not even about having to go to somebody else for that help. It's just sometimes it's about doing something. And it ties into what you just said too, Sam, in accomplishing something. It's like sometimes you don't even need another person, but if you accomplish something or you're just even just doing something to get your mind off of whatever's going on, like, again, that's why I use the wood shop a lot of times, because it's something I can just go do on my own, not deal with other people, not deal with any of the stressors. And then by the time I'm done with whatever project I'm doing, I feel 1,000 times better.
It's crazy. I feel like the only one who needs somebody. This is weird. Like you all have certain ways to go through this alone. And I'm like, dude, fuck that. I don't want to go through this alone. Like, give me someone to go hang out with. Like, get my mind off of this. It's interesting.
I think it's both, because I have time. Like, personally, I have times where it's both. Like, there's times where I just don't want other people involved with something for whatever the reason, or I don't feel that I need other people involved in something. And then there's times where all I want is just to be around somebody.
Yeah.
Like, just to use the example of us going hiking again, there's times where like you and me could have went on a hike and one of us was stressed and we didn't have to talk the whole time. It was just about being out there and doing it.
Yeah, that's true. But like, I would never go alone. I don't like doing stuff alone. Like, I think life is meant for two people, or like, you know, I don't know.
To be shared.
Yeah, to be shared. Like, that's how I view life. I hate going through stuff alone. I absolutely hate it. So it's really interesting to like shed light on this subject, because I'm learning stuff. Maybe I need to be a little more, what's the word you said? I can't think of it. Holy shit.
Be more of
like yourself.
More of like a hermit.
Be
more selfish.
I mean, and then there's no harm in trying something, right? Like, maybe you try it and it really works for you. Maybe you try it and you hate it.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, you'll never know unless you try. So
yeah. And like, again, just we're here to help. So like, it's important to identify this. Like, I didn't know I needed someone all the time, but apparently I do.
Chris, would you say you're having a lessons learned moment? Said it.
Oh God.
Oh man. Yeah. Chris, the more you talk about this, the more I get into like your mind, because
you mentioned this.
Ooh, a lot. You mentioned this a lot of other times, and you said it to me once where if you had the ability to go like travel Europe by yourself, like, you know that you made it, because at that point you know that you just need yourself and you don't need that extra person in your life.
I said that to you last week.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, and now wrapping it right back into it, talking about it today, I'm just like, wow, like that really is like just mentally how you think right now. Yeah.
Yeah. That conversation, I told Talon, like, you know, traveling alone, like going to a movie alone, I will never do that. I hate going to the grocery store alone. I hate it. Like, I just hate doing stuff alone.
Instead, just send me.
But like, not to get too off topic here, I told Talon, the day I travel Europe alone and like just go to a hostel like by myself and just figure my own way out, like where are my trains gonna take me, that's the day like I am me, like fully, like that is who I am. And like, I'll be, that's like a new level I don't ever see myself really reaching, but like I want to.
So is this like a goal that you're setting for yourself?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Okay. Hell, a good goal is to travel Europe alone. Yeah, hell yeah. That's a good goal. Whenever we can travel again, I'm going to give it a shot.
That's when the real Chris Lettieri will exist.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, you're about it. Traveling is always with, like, friends or, like, you're in a relationship. It's never about just, like, experience. Like, it is, but think about going alone and just, like, this is, again, that's your way to decompress is traveling. And my way is nature. So combining the two, like, if I go to a new country and, like, I have to find my way, you grow so much from that. Like, you really see who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Like Brad Spencer, dude, he did that. He took these bike tours, he took train rides, he did all hostels, like, and you just meet people along the way. And I think that's what it's gonna be for me, is like, I want to meet people, but like, it's easier to meet people when you're alone. Like, I know whenever I fly, it's just me now. So I always sit next to someone and I strike up a conversation. And it's not being an introvert. That's the word I was looking for before. It's not about being not an introvert, yeah. Right? Like, I'm very extroverted. So I think that's why I also like hanging out with people a lot, because I'm extroverted. Like, I like getting my feelings out. I like, you know, just getting my mind off of what I'm thinking of, because I'm here in the moment with somebody else.
Right. And I think that's a strong suit of yours. You know, I think a lot of guys struggle to get their feelings out, to just really be with someone and talk about things like how you are feeling, you know? And so I think that's something that's really strong about you. But I do think also, like, knowing how to be alone too, I think that's important too.
I've definitely learned that this year, and I have grown a lot this year because I am alone, but it's nice. Like, you do feel this sense of accomplishment. Like, photography, it's something I started, and then, like, I don't know, just traveling and reading a lot. I've took Jared's advice and I started reading a bunch, and well, actually, I'm on the same book, Sam. I told you I'd give you this book when I was done with it. It's been about a year.
Okay,
since
it's literally been like months. And Chris told me he got this book, and I was like, okay, when you finish that book, thinking it was going to be like a couple weeks. It's not a long book, you know. Like, he's like, oh yeah, I'll give it to you. And then we're like,
he's big dumb.
6 months later, he's still like, oh,
is
yeah,
it that
I'm
super life
three.
Book?
Like,
oh no,
it's the super life super book, life isn't
I've
it?
I've quoted the book, but I gotta. Well, my problem is we're getting way off topic, but real quick, the book my topic, my problem is. I read like 5 books at once. So as I might not be reading that book, but I am reading. Like right now it's Christmas time, so I'm reading Harry Potter, like a feel good book, you know? Nope. I don't want to learn about like what's gonna improve my diet right now. It's snowing outside, I'm happy. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to topic.
No, well, just to justify you, I'm the same way, and I don't really it takes me forever to finish books, but I read like 5 books at the same time. So
yeah.
Wait, you guys know how to read?
Oh. But Chris, I think it's really interesting because I feel like a lot of introverts kind of, they wish that they're more extroverted and they had that ability to like go talk to people more and to go, I mean, experience that. But then on the other side of it, you're an extrovert and you wish that you were able to be alone and you wish that you're able to do that stuff. So it's just, I mean, the world really is just balanced and no one like people say that life is about being content in it, but I don't think anyone's really content, at least not all the time.
Right.
And what you want as a person, someone else might have, but they want what you have. And that's just what life is.
Yeah.
There's so much truth in that. I think people always want what they don't have because, you know, in our minds, the grass is always greener, you know, on the other side.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. But we got off topic. So, yeah, I think just you need to identify, like I've said it already. You just need to identify who you are and what you enjoy to decompress. And it might not be like your favorite thing in the world. Like, you know, I don't have to go snowboarding. I love snowboarding, but like, I don't have to do that. I can just go sit on my balcony, like just be outside with that fresh air as I was talking about. Jared could be like, he might be at work, but he's reading, you know, like that could be a way to decompress a little bit. So you don't have to be in the ideal situation to just like take a breath and calm down. Like, you need to try and work at getting there. And it's important to realize that you need to do that.
You know, and I know you said, you know, we got off topic, but I think there is some importance in, you know, identifying, you know, are you an introvert? Are you an extrovert? Because I think without truly identifying that, you know, you're never going to be able to find the things that make you feel good. You know, because if you're an introvert and you're spending, you know, time with people to try to feel better and you're never getting that feeling of relief, well, maybe it's time to like reevaluate who you are, you know?
Yeah, that is a good point. So maybe we weren't too off topic.
Not too far.
Yeah, I know, Jared, because you're an introvert. I remember when you went through your breakup, I was like, dude, let's go grab a beer. And you're like, okay. And like, that helped you. I know it did. Because you talked about your feelings, like how, like what you were going through. And I understood that. Like, I was just there to listen. And then like, lo and behold, I was going through the same thing like 4 months later.
I remember that day.
Yeah.
Like we were sitting outside that place that closed down, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Nebraska Brewing Company.
Man, I remember like it was yesterday.
Yeah, man. Because that was like a big day. That was emotional. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was good.
And like, so that's, I tried to be that person for you because I know you're introverted. So I asked you, like, dude, do you want to go grab a beer? And like, when you said, yeah, I was like, oh shit, maybe he's going through some shit.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. But it, like Sam said, it is important to realize that. And sometimes you need that friend like me, or like I normally do need that person to just push me. So yeah. So those are our ways to decompress. You know, it's like we talked about, I've repeated it like 4 or 5 times. I'm sorry. You guys probably hate hearing my voice at this point, but you know, just identifying who you are as a person, what helps you decompress, and not necessarily getting that perfect situation, but that little bit to help. And, you know, sometimes we didn't even talk about this. We'll bring on, I know we got this topic saved for a later date, our boy Tony Stark, Iron Man himself, wants to talk about meditation. And that's something I've learned a lot this year, and like we all kind of do sometimes here, but that'll be a future episode. So, Sam, thanks for being our guest. It was great having you.
I'm glad to be here.
You're a lot smarter than all of us, especially Randy and Joe.
Talon's got me beat. Especially. Y'all, I don't know.
Joe's probably out eating panda, so good luck to Joe.
Would have been great to get Joe's perspective on this. Yeah.
So,
food.
Yeah, decompressing. Joe.
Yeah, Joe would have been like.
Joey might need to decompress
panda
after a day at work on a Saturday. So, yeah, thanks for listening.
Thanks, Sam.
All right, guys. This has been Lessons Learned. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and go follow our other social media pages linked in the description. From all of us here at Lessons Learned, have a good day and
see ya!